engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. Be mindful of prisoners as if sharing their imprisonment, and of the ill-treated as of yourselves, for you also are in the body. Let marriage be honored among all, and the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and adulterers. Let your life be free from love of money, but be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never forsake you or abandon you. Thus we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war be waged upon me, even then will I trust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. For he will hide me in his abode in the day of trouble. He will conceal me in the shelter of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him. Others were saying, he is Elijah. Still others, he is a prophet like any of the prophets. But when Herod learned of it, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up. Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you. He even swore many things to her. I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? Her mother replied, the head of John the Baptist. The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl, The girl in turn gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let marriage be honored among all. This is the exhortation we hear today in this first reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Let marriage be honored among all. First and foremost, because it is a creation of God. It is not a creation of government. It is not a creation of the married couple themselves. It is not a creation of popular culture, or simply of tradition, or of you, or of me. Marriage is created by God and has therefore its specific purpose and nature ordained not by any human being or human power, but by the Creator. When we say God is the creator of all things, we're not just talking about mountains and rivers and planets, we're talking about gifts like marriage. Let marriage be honored among all, because in honoring it, in respecting it for what it is, you are honoring God. You are obeying God. Marriage has a meaning, a purpose, a structure that we cannot tamper with. Just as we are not authorized to change the moral law, we are not authorized to change the value of human life and the respect that is due to it, so we are not authorized to change the meaning of marriage. As the church has always taught, as Scripture teaches, as Jesus affirmed, as the apostles affirmed, and as John the Baptist gave his life for, as we read in today's gospel, marriage is an institution of union, of love, of openness to life between one man and one woman who give themselves to one another for life and are generous in their love for one another and open to the gift of new life if God wants to give it. There's not an obligation for that to actually happen. There's an obligation to be willing and ready for that to happen. Marriage, love and life together, one man, one woman. We reject polygamy. We reject homosexual marriage, we reject adultery. One man, one woman, united together in love that is open to life, for life, till death do us part. Now, John the Baptist, as we said, was murdered because he had said to King Herod, "You're committing adultery. You cannot have your brother's wife." One man married to one woman, that's it. And we honor today as one of the saints of the church, Saint Agatha. She died as a virgin, committed to chastity. Now, the virtue of chastity means that the gift of human sexuality is received and engaged in according to our vocation. And this is wrapped up with the meaning of marriage. You know, chastity is also a virtue that married people have to practice. But a married person and a single person practice chastity in different ways. What the common thread is that a physical union, sexual union of two individuals has a meaning and a purpose. It is to be engaged in only within a marriage of one man and one woman, with one another, not by themselves and not with some third party, and always open to life for the purpose of generous self-giving, not for the purpose of selfish pleasure. Doesn't mean that pleasure by itself is wrong. In fact, in the proper context of married love, pleasure is good and holy. And that has a purpose too. It's placed there by God. But chastity means integration of the sexual aspect of our existence with our vocation. which means that a single person obviously waits until marriage before engaging in that kind of activity, and a married person does it only with his or her spouse. That's it. Let marriage be honored by all. By all. By those who are married. And we pray in this Mass in a particular way for you who are married. A vocation given to so many people. What a blessing. You know, when I was doing parish work before I started doing full-time pro-life work as the head of Priests for Life, I really enjoyed doing weddings. I loved it for two reasons. First of all, it's such a joyful occasion. And to be part of such a momentous event in the lives of those families is an honor. And secondly, because it's an opportunity to speak the word of God to people at a moment of particular openness, the new chapter in their lives, what better thing to do than to go to God and to his word to seek the guidance and the strength that is needed? And also, what a joy to do that for people who may not have been in church in a while. You know, people come to weddings, they come to church because it's the wedding of somebody that they know and love, not because necessarily that they go to church or even practice their faith. So I always saw the wedding as an opportunity to, you know, reach out to these people and say, the church is your home. We want to see you on a regular basis. And I would always stand in the line, in the receiving line, at the end of the ceremony as people were lining up to greet the bride and groom and their parents. Why not also greet the priest? Then it was an opportunity for me to welcome each and every person there in the name of Jesus and the name of the church. And I would always say at the wedding ceremonies to the photographer, the videographer, don't turn off the camera during the homily. Film the homily. And I would say during that homily, what I want to say now is a reminder to all who are married or who are seeking to be married. Marriage is not only a natural gift that God has given, among other reasons, for the continuation of the human family, and that stability of marriage, by the way, is the only proper context for raising a child who needs, by the way, both a mother and a father, and who needs them to be permanently there for that child. But not only is it a natural institution, it's supernatural. It is a sacramentum, a sacrament. And it is a sign of the marriage between God and his people. We read about it in the Old Testament. Your maker has become your husband, Isaiah says. And in the New Testament, when Jesus comes, he says he's the bridegroom of the church. And St. Paul, in that beautiful passage in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, says that marriage is a sacrament. It represents the marriage of Christ and the church. Christ, the bridegroom, gives himself away completely. We see that happening on the cross. The church, his pure bride, always remaining faithful to him. You can't break the bond between Christ and the church. He's the head, we're the members of the body. It's a marriage. And it's a marriage that's always fruitful, bearing new life every day as more people come to believe in the Word of God. But what I said to the married couples in the homily was this. You are not the only one making vows today. God is making a vow. Because sacramentum also means that, an oath, a promise, a sacred promise. Who's making promises? Well, husband and wife are making promises to be faithful to each other until death. But God is making a promise that he'll be faithful to them. And that all the grace and all the strength that that couple needs to continue to be generous and faithful in that marriage will be just as much present 10, 20, 50 years after the wedding as it was on that very first day. I was talking with my parents yesterday and we were talking about the fact that in June will be their 65th wedding anniversary. And we see the example in so many couples of this fidelity for so many years and decades. It takes God's grace. It takes reaching out for God's grace. But those of you that are married or planning to be married, you can be absolutely sure that that grace will be there every single day. God doesn't give us a requirement to do anything that he doesn't also give us the grace to fulfill. It's there. The grace is there. Take hold of it. Utilize it. The gift of marriage. The husband, the wife, the children, the fruit of their love. Again, as many children as God will decide to give them. Many couples struggle with infertility. They're longing, they're begging, they're asking God, give me the gift of a child. And we'll want to pray today for those who suffer from infertility. Others, they have children and they wonder, you know, how many more can we afford? How many more can we have? The church doesn't say that you need to keep having children and take no account of your ability to provide for them. Oh, of course not. There can be medical reasons, financial and social reasons why you may have to delay having a child or even say we cannot have any more right now. It's just that you can't tamper with the physical or spiritual meaning of human sexuality, and that's why contraception is wrong. Certainly abortion is always wrong. But things like natural family planning done according to how the church teaches it is acceptable. There's a lot to this. It would require a whole course to delve into it. But my point here today is that this is a marvelous and beautiful calling that we can embrace confidently, joyfully, and knowing that living out God's plan for marriage will indeed, not only is it possible, but it will indeed be your greatest source of joy and fulfillment. Let marriage be honored among all, among those who are living it, among all the rest of us who see it as a key part of the church's teaching. It's a key part of our gospel message. It's a key aspect of the culture of life. But let marriage also be honored by all public officials. And to lawmakers, governors, presidents, judges, understand today, you are not authorized to change the meaning of marriage. You cannot decree that it is okay for a man to marry a man. We have nothing against and certainly do not look down on or judge those who feel that that is what they want to do. But we're not talking about them or their value or their rights. We're talking about the plan of God for marriage. According to his word and the teachings of his church, you can't redefine what this natural institution that has been with us since Adam and Eve is. You can't redefine it. You can't throw out the window millennia of teaching and living this experience. You certainly can't do it and not expect there's going to be consequences. Consequences that we have yet begun to see and that we will see more and more in years and decades to come. Let marriage be honored among all, including among those who think they have the power to redefine it. You don't. Brothers and sisters, let's pray that we have the courage of John the Baptist here. He could have kept his mouth shut and kept his head, but no. He said, honoring marriage is important enough even to risk my life for. How many preachers? How many believers have the courage of John the Baptist today? We need it more than ever. Let's ask for it during this Mass. Lord Jesus, may we honor marriage. Send your blessing on all those who live that vocation. Let us all rejoice, O Lord, that you have married us and that that relationship is indeed the meaning of eternal life. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.